Welcome to the Eventual Millionaire Podcast with your host, Jamie Tardy. Real talk and real advice from real millionaires with a sharp focus on you, the eventual millionaire.
Welcome to Eventual Millionaire. I'm Jamie Tardy, and today on the show, we have James Norris. Now, he's a serial entrepreneur. He also has a bunch of different really amazing life hack stuff. One is called Self Spark. I'm going to have him get into it all because he's also working at Stanford and a whole bunch of other amazing things that I can't even get into. Thanks so much for coming on the show today, James.
Thank you for having me.
And you used to live in Austin. You actually went to school out here. So we were connecting on that a bit before. How did you make the transition from Austin school to entrepreneurship?
I was an entrepreneur well before UT.
Really?
But hook 'em. Yeah.
I didn't know what that was. I was doing this because I thought it was like devil horns. And apparently I didn't realize I was doing the Austin thing.
I do it around the world and no one gets it. Sometimes occasionally they're like, yeah, you're from Texas, the football school.
That's insane.
Party school. So I spent 8 years in Austin to go to UT and then do a startup with my mentor. But I've been an entrepreneur since I started selling candy during recess in first grade in Houston, Texas, in a little suburban ghetto. So it was my start was dirt poor. Family was broke and filed bankruptcy and a lot of bad things. And I didn't want to stick with that, so candy was the solution.
As it always is. No, I'm kidding. So how did you make, like, okay, so I have kids, right? One of them's in first grade and actually does sort of that stuff too. So how did you make the transition from actually being a kid entrepreneur to like a quote-unquote real entrepreneur?
Okay, many, many micro businesses, about seven.
Really? Then
clubs. I've built like 10 clubs or so in my life. And I started getting to startups properly around 19 or so. But yeah, I've got now 8 startups I've helped build and then a total of 22 organizations if you count the clubs and you go back to high school and college because I just couldn't help but build because I had this energy and I had this desire to create things in the world, which is not always fantastic for entrepreneurship as sometimes it doesn't make money, but it is still valuable and interesting and a good challenge.
So, that's interesting because with the club thing, I was like, okay, what's the revenue model on that? Or was there one or was it just clubs?
Yeah. The revenue model for clubs primarily is dues, but you really build it off of hours, off of energy. So you've got like a volunteering club. I did a lot of Red Cross. So it's the energy that they would put in and you have some output in terms of social impact. They have some output in terms of what they're getting on their CV or their resume, plus they're learning practical skills. So it's like a win-win. There's a business model there, but nonprofit side, I've done a lot of, we could talk about it if you want. I'm primarily a social entrepreneur.
Okay. Explain a social, because I know we were going to get into this anyway, and I want to hear about Self-Spark too, but get into the exactly what a social entrepreneur is, and just in case people don't know.
Exactly. That's hard. Sure. Building businesses that have mission first, the profit builds the purpose. So this is fundamentally, there are companies like Whole Foods, which is based in Austin, which doesn't call itself a social enterprise, but it's a conscious capitalist company. They're trying to do good with every transaction. So it does cost a lot, but because you're building better supply chains and you're helping people eat better. So there's a lot of value built into every part of the business model there. And there are tons and tons like this. I'm more and more interested in the social enterprises that can scale to really rapid growth and do a lot of impact at the same time.
Yeah, you sent me an article right before this that I had a chance to read, and it was like, instead of going after $1 million, going after helping 1 million people, very, very different mindset in general, and you get to help 1 million people. So tell me about sort of that shift and why rapid growth? Like, why does it matter if we get to 1 million people as fast as humanly possible?
All right, everyone has their own values and what they're trying to optimize in their lives. That's fine. I'm trying to support that typically. I've chosen to optimize for doing as much good as humanly possible. I want to be an altruist. I want to be a superstar altruist and create a lot of social impact. And that's because I grew up, in a troubled situation. I saw suffering firsthand, and I didn't think it was right that I survived and thrived in a lot of ways. And that comes with a lot of responsibility. It feels like I should give back. It's my obligation and my commitment, my choice. So I've, from the early days, trying to build, like, make money, like, everything I could possibly do as a kid, like, washing cars and then mowing lawns and that sort of thing, selling pirated software, things like that. I was also a bad kid. I did have my run-ins with the law and stealing and things like that. But deciding that it was more important to give back to others so they wouldn't have to get the same thing, and then just philosophically, it seems like the right thing to do. So I think you should go for your first $1 million is important, but the first 1 million people impacted is even more important. So can you make an impact with everything that you sell or you create?
That's
what I think kids should be focusing on. It's like, all right, I got my first 1 million or your first 1,000 or first 100, whatever the scale is for them.
So why do you think that you thrived in such a sort of not great upbringing when so many other people don't?
I had an amazing mother. That's mm-hmm. one thing. So she was the light of our family, just fantastic woman, inspiration to me still. A lot of my work is in her honor. But I happen to be resilient. Maybe it's genetic. Maybe it's early childhood experiences. Maybe there's just this chance factors that happened. I have a twin sister and I have an older brother. So they're both doing pretty well now. But it's like we started from where we were and had to build up in our own ways. And I have greater risk tolerance than most people. I'm willing to bet it all. And I've basically gone down to my reserves, my venture reserves 3 times, completely wiped myself out, basically, to build startups, to do a sabbatical, to at UT, I did a crazy thing. I was a triple major, quadruple minor, which I ended without any debts. But that was because the government supported me. I had jobs. My dad actually ended up supporting me some. But it's like keep on making these bets and trying to go big just because that's who I am.
Okay. So you're like, oh, by the way, I'm not going to double major or double minor. I'm going to triple and quadruple because I have never heard of that before. So I might as well go that big. Why go that big?
Because engineering and I was doing astronomy at first, which was too hard. So I did something easier. It's one of the things. I have so much respect for those who are doing hard sciences and engineering and so on because it's more challenging than the 3 liberal arts degrees. Which I loved. It was helpful for thinking and it's part of who I am. But seriously, it wasn't as hard as it might sound. So this is part of life.
That's good to know. All right. I switched from art, which was too hard, to computers, which I thought was way easier, by the way, just so you know. So very, very different of opinion. Mine was a different scenario, of course. But tell me about how you started SelfSpark and because I really want to get into this life hacking thing. Because we hear about the term life hack constantly. And don't get me wrong, I am impatient. I want to achieve everything faster, better, sooner, more efficiently, as much as humanly possible. So tell us a little bit about SelfSpark and then also like what life hacking to you is.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I'm uncertain about the term. It's only 10 years old. Danny O'Brien coined it. Mm. He was a journalist studying how alpha geeks got stuff done, the tools they were using. And now it's sort of morphed into top 10 uses of vinegar. I think it's rubbish. I think the essence behind serious life hacking, is using the most efficient and effective tools and techniques for improving your life. It's basically getting to where you want to go as fast as humanly possible, and being mindful that there aren't shortcuts for a lot of things. I'll be the first one to tell you, I try to meditate faster is my joke. I've meditated on top of a train. It doesn't help it go faster. Although there are some techniques with fMRI and some tools that do seem to give you a little boost. That said, you still have to work for it. So I started life hacking when I was a teenager because I was trying to break through, break free from my environment. We were basically trying to get more done without enough time. And I think everyone listening to this understands that. And so just over the last more than a decade, I've been looking at all the tools, techniques, the behavioral science behind it, behavioral economics, neuroscience, social psychology, positive psychology. You have to know all these fields to get a good sense of what's inside that brain of yours, which is not aligned to your highest values. It doesn't actually help you get what you want most of the time. It's optimized for mating and for survival and things like that. So it just, if you want to achieve, you have to start hacking into like what makes you get up in the morning. How do you fight your own procrastination and so on? I have it. I mean, I need this. That's why I built SelfSpark. So, and I wanted to share it with more and more people.
I think that's incredible. I mean, entrepreneurs are always, because it's only up to us, right? So I am the type, I have like essential oils of brain powder power and peppermint oil that like when I'm tired and I have, I have 1,000 things here. Like, Anyway, I want to show you all the stuff. I have a whole bunch of things. I try, right? So give us some tips on, and me, because now I really want to know, what are some things to make me as an entrepreneur more efficient, better, farter, smarter, faster? That's very different. Better, smarter, faster, all that fun stuff.
Well, can we do, but so let's get brain transplants from someone who's done this and taken 30 years to figure it out. But I've found that most people haven't figured it out and they go through most of their lives at a basic plateau. So it depends on each individual person. So I can give blanket advice. I've worked with over 1,500 people now across 90 events in 9 cities for SelfSpark. We run life hacking boot camps around the world where we teach you this stuff in 1 or 2 days. As a generic, there's so many things you could do. Let's just say morning rituals is a really big one for people to take on. So if you don't have the step-by-step process that you're trying to tackle to set up your day, to get your most important thing done, to get your healthy fats in your brain, to get enough water in your system. If you don't have that morning rituals down, I would urge you to take a few minutes to write down the ideal morning, like right now as you're listening to this or afterwards. See if you can make it happen tomorrow morning. And if not, see if you can make it happen the morning after. If not, the morning after. Because if you get that basis, then you have a good start for the rest of the day.
Okay, what does that include? Let's talk about my critique me, okay? So that way I get something and everybody listening in. So like there are specific things I do in the morning. I wake up, I meditate, right? And do some visualization. Like today I have a Muay Thai coach come to my house. So I do Muay Thai in the morning, and he kills me on purpose. It's great. And I don't eat before that. Sometimes a little bit of green juice. And then eggs and avocado. Healthy fats, right? And any like oils or supplements or anything that I have. But then that's pretty much it. I pretty much like take a shower and then get into my day. So critique me. Is there anything else I should be doing, shouldn't be doing, anything like that?
That is definitely a good basis for a role model for many people around. I'd have to dive into who you are and what you actually need to accomplish. I didn't hear a focus on like the most important thing, your MIT or your frog, like the thing that's the hardest thing to do. Maybe do that right after you're done with Muay Thai. It depends on your framing. So if you might actually try meditating after you're done exercising. You could. I found that that's actually really helpful for, I've now beaten up my body and I can really dive into a deeper session faster. But a lot of people also find it's really good to do it first thing before they do anything else. Otherwise they'll get distracted by the day. I would ask you like what percentage of success have you had with this particular program? And would you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10, like on a whatever scale? And if it's doing well, then you don't need to change it.
So I feel like it's doing well, and I'm wondering if it could be better. So, I mean, this is the thing, right? So I love it so far, especially the visualization exercises I do. I go, you know, future feeling, all that stuff. And then I'm like, is there any way I can do it better or faster? Or you know what I mean? And maybe I don't need to tweak it. Maybe it like after a while, it's just like, Jamie, like take a break and you're doing enough.
If it's habitual where you're not having to use a lot of energy to do it, that's fantastic. That's usually a good sign. And if you miss it and you feel bad about it, that's also a good sign. If you get your exercise habit in place and you don't get to the gym or whatever it is and you feel bad, then you figured out you've built that habit.
Well, that's what happened to me. So like before I was just going to the gym to do the Muay Thai lessons and then I would make excuses or something, you know what I mean? And that's why I have him come to my house 3 times a week because I'm like, he's going to show up either way. I have to get ready crap.
When you pay someone, there's a different responsibility. So I do a lot of things with commitment contracts where you put money on the line for achieving your goals. And you've paid this person to come. So he or she is going to be there and you just got to show up. You've got to open the door and that's great. So you're like Ulysses when he was tying himself to the mast of his ship so he could hear the siren song. But he had everyone else plug their ears so they wouldn't hear the song. Because the theory, you know, in this story is, if they heard the siren song, they'd go and crash into the rocks and try to get closer to the sirens. So he wanted to hear it, but he tied himself up to the mast so he couldn't move. He couldn't crash the ship beforehand because he knew ahead of time that he was going to make that big mistake of, you know, failure of will. It's called a crasia. So he basically knew ahead of time, just like you did. And sometimes you can do this with partners where they do a phone call to you or you put money on the line with a program called Stick, S-T-I-C-K-K, or Beeminder. These are both apps that basically will take your money if you fail to achieve your goals.
What a great business model. I'll take your money. I should set that up. What the heck? So commitment contracts, how do we, like, give me a step-by-step. Somebody has something in their life that they want to change. It's the beginning of 2016. We really want to start, like, getting into it, right? So what's something, like, give me a step-by-step how we can create a commitment contract.
Okay. So if you want to do a one-off commitment, the best tool for that is Stick. So that's done by Yale economists. And basically you put a deadline for a goal, like I'm going to exercise 10 times this month. And if you hit it and your partner tells you you hit it, fantastic. You get to keep your money. If you don't and your partner says you don't, then like it could be a gym partner or it could be a friend, your spouse, then they basically can donate your money to a charity of your choice, sometimes an anti-charity. So if you don't like the Republican Party, the money might go to a Republican candidate. If you don't like Democrats, it might go to a Democrat candidate. These are the essence of trying to get that behavioral economics inside your brain, those incentives that you have, and use them to your advantage. It's not for everyone.
I was going to say, does that really, that? I mean, I know scientifically it works, but like, and people will commit to that. They won't just be like, okay, partner, say that I did it. I want my money back.
Right? See, you can cheat yourself. Beeminder is off with no partner typically. It's just an app that every day you check in if you did it. And they voluntarily, I think it was 11% of people voluntarily paid the company their cash if they failed, because they realized that, you know, they're hurting themselves. And Beeminder is providing a good service for them, so that should compensate. Money is one thing to do. You can do this with embarrassing pictures. I don't think that's as effective. Okay. Every person is different in how they respond to these kind of incentives, and you have to figure out for you. That's what life hacking is, figuring out what's working for you, trying it out, testing, getting the data, and keep on iterating until it works.
But that's what's so annoying, right? Because I want to go, tell me what works. This is like in business, like the industry is different. Everything seems to be different. So somebody can tell you, oh, this is what worked for me. And you're like, crap, now I have to still figure it out for myself. And what we have a tendency to do is be too overwhelmed, busy, whatever, and don't really pay as much attention as we possibly can to that. So these triggers will come up where it's, you don't have a life that's exactly like, it took me forever to even start doing the morning routine thing. Like I kept having Hal Elrod, Miracle Morning guy, like come on the show. I'm like, yeah, crap, I need to get better at that. Right. And then finally I was like, okay. And then it started tweaking small things at a time, but it's taken way longer than I've ever wanted it to. So, So why do we do that as humans, and how can we make that way easier? Because it's a huge commitment to try and figure some of this stuff out.
So it is, but it's also probably the most important commitment you could make, or one of them, because it's helping you get meta growth. As you get better at growing, you can get better at growing. You have more money, you have more energy, you have more time, and you can use those to build more money, more energy, more time, and you become your best self. So if you care about self-actualization, becoming your highest self and being aligned with your values, then this is what you do. Now, I want to make this 10 times easier. That's the premise of SelfSpark, learning the technologies and the behavioral science that helps it be a lot easier. I'll give one example. I'm wearing it. It's called the Pavlok.
Manish, my good friend Manish.
So if I do this, it will basically shock me. It's an aversion therapy technique. I'm still testing it to see if it works. I think it does for some people, and it probably doesn't for other people. But it's a tool that you can... If you notice yourself procrastinating, you can press a button. You notice yourself on a Facebook, you can press a button. Or it can automatically read your Facebook habits from another tool.
That's called good.
Rescue Time tracks what you do on your computer every minute. And it's like Big Brother, but in a really good way. It's like your supportive one. And it's just for you. But that'll tell you every minute how productive you're being. And you could have it tied to this and zap you or vibrate or whatnot. But this is the cutting edge of where we're at about getting the lifestyle change technologies, behavior change technologies. We haven't found that much. I've looked at over 1,000 tools now, and I've studied a lot of them. There aren't as many as you might think are actually panaceas or fantastic. We'll see about Pavlok. Modafinil is a tool for...
I take Modafinil.
Especially if you have sleep issues, those are pretty powerful. And then a really healthy diet, that's really good. So whole foods, I do paleo, I do a type of diet called Bulletproof.
Yep.
So I do my Bulletproof coffee in the morning, I joke that I have I have coffee with my butter in the morning, but it's grass-fed butter, and then a bunch of things added in. So all these things give you like a cumulative edge if you start to know what actually responds to you and what doesn't. And the thing is, you also change. It's like you're this dynamic system. If it were simple, then everyone would do it. And if it were simple to be a millionaire, everyone would be a millionaire by now. You know, so it's one of those things where if you can master it, then you have that massive edge over most people. And it's definitely humbling. How many years I've been doing this and I still have massive problems. Just have to be humble about it and just take it, smile about it, and then look into the neuroscience, for example. Look into whatever you're doing and just take another experiment and keep moving forward.
Good. Thank you for saying that. So is there like a list of all of these things? So I read like Bulletproof, because I've tried Bulletproof coffee. It did not work for me. It made me want to puke every single morning, which is not good. But I did it for a month going like, it's going to work eventually. No, it'll be good. I'll be good. No, definitely not. Not going to do that again. Though I have so many friends that it, like Pat Flynn was the one that turned me onto it like 4 years ago. Right. And he's still doing it. And so when you start like going and trying these things, because my friend Abel James Bascom, I don't know if you know him or not, but he has a book called The Wild Diet. He was actually in People magazine this month. So he's the type of guy where he has like this thing attached to his, when I went to his house, he's like, okay, I sleep here and I'm testing this, and it's a thing that goes behind your head when you're sleeping and blah blah blah, and then they have these things. I'm like, wow, okay, I would love to try these things, and that's nuts. Right? Like, even if I had a list of all of them, I don't feel like I could put the system together to test everything well enough to see if it would work well for me. Do you know what I mean?
I've tried to solve this very problem. I'm still working on it. But of the 1,000 I've looked at, I've tried to force rank the ones I find that are most efficacious for the most people.
Good. Yes.
Unfortunately, there's not much evidence behind most of these tools because they don't understand what randomized controlled trials are. I would love to see the personal growth industry start publishing all their outcome data. This is something we're doing at SelfSpark. You can see our results. Just ask for them because I believe in being completely transparent about how we're doing. So the kit.me is a site which lists some of mine.
Okay.
Still in the works, but I am trying to get it up to speed where I'm comfortable with, because it's so hard to know for you and for the other millions of people that could do these things. What's the best thing to choose first?
Because that's like, the thing, I know Manish Shetty that created Pavlok. And I remember way back when he was telling me about it and we were like joking, like, this is a hit. Because I used to have, I have a Fitbit now. I created a band that vibrated to remind you of things. Wait, like this was 7-8 years ago before that was cool. I could have got a patent for wearable. It would have cost me 20 grand. And I was like, I don't have time for that right now. Now I'm like killing myself, but whatever, it's fine. But Manish, I remember when I first met, when he first had sort of his Pavlok thing, he had a business card that shocked you. So he's like, here's your business card, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you suck. And I'm like, why would I voluntarily shock myself? Number one. So I've wanted to try it, but I'm like, I don't know that I'd actually use it. So even if it's available, and all these studies say that it could be really, really good, I'm still like, I feel like that way with a lot of different things, just because I've bought so much stuff that I haven't actually used after a long time. Do you know what I mean?
Everyone else suffers the same problem. This is individual differences is the term in psychology. And it is something that there is no easy solution to yet. I'm still looking for the highest impact tools. I can tell you things like Soylent or Meal Squares for food seem like they're pretty good.
Have you tried those yet?
I've wanted Soylent for 15 years. And when I finally got it, I was already eating better than Soylent, so it was less useful. But it is pretty efficient. Meal Squares is the equivalent, like a little square meal bar, basically, which is a whole foods approach. So you don't have to actually mix the drink.
I know. All I do is these for like most of the day, right? Yeah.
Good.
I guess so. Yeah. But like, you never know, like as long as you're feeling, I guess, let me ask you this, because there are 1,000 things, right? And I do want to, in a second, I'm going to ask like, what are your top three that we need to try, right? Because maybe there's some things that I need to try. But I'm wondering is how do we really evaluate whether these are effective or not? Because there's so many variables in that, like, I'll try this brain power thing. And I don't know if it's a placebo or not. I've been using it for a long time. But the quantifiable difference of me going, I feel better, smarter, whatever right now. Like, I'm not sure that I'm really noticing that much, but yeah. It makes me feel better, you know, smelling it, putting it on or something like that. So I'm continually using it. Who knows if it's really working? I feel like there's just such wide variables. There's never a, hell yes, this is it, totally working, totally keeping that forever, besides eating better food and exercising. And those are the ones and meditating. Those are the three, right?
I'd say online dating for some people. So that can be very, very effective. Okay, Cupid or Tinder.
I do that too. Okay, good.
across the whole category of everything you want to do, this is what the kit is trying to solve to get this highest impact ones.
Okay.
Again, it's hard. So the take home message here is if you don't see a difference, then okay, it probably isn't as important, except for things that maybe like supplements, vitamins. But if you're eating really well, that's the primary. Key is you don't have sensory apparatus that will tell you if these things are really that great. And these are N of one studies, so you don't have controls. And you're doing this all through introspection. You can ask other people to evaluate you objectively. You can have them observe. You can take some data, like with Lumosity as a cognitive brain training tool. You can see baseline over time.
Oh, cool.
Lots of things like that give you a little bit of insight. But quite honestly, if it's not worth your time, then you don't need to do it. It's worth doing in like short experiments. Like that's almost always going to be valuable to try new things. But if you don't see a good value, if you don't have good reason, good evidence to believe it, then maybe you don't work on it. Then you just keep on going through your day. But if you notice that you are low energy, or if you aren't as happy, or if you're not making as much money as you want, just look at the evidence for that and then take the highest likely probability tool for helping solve that, and then make a prediction. This is what I would say, like try to make predictions about what you think will happen before you do it. So with Pavlok, I wrote down my predictions. I'm still testing to see if they work. And then that gives you a lot of honesty about what these things are useful or not.
So how long of a testing, because I want you to give me the three things, but like how long of a testing process? Give us what we should be doing so that way we can make a valid assessment, because I just feel like we're otherwise just winging it.
Well, you were definitely winging it, because you're not going to get scientific accuracy here with these N of one kind of like, I mean, sample size of one.
Yes. So
sometimes it's like immediate. You see it within 10 minutes, sometimes an hour, sometimes a day. Usually these experiments are less than a week.
Okay.
You're doing something and seeing if it will happen. But you don't really have, like, you're asking for, how do I know for sure? I don't know for sure for any of these things. The more I learn, the more I have what I call Socratic inversions. Socrates was famous for not knowing anything. So the more I've learned, I'm not so sure. So I pride myself on trying to be humble there, which doesn't make sense of that oxymoron statement.
I think that's awesome. Well, tell us what are those three things? So, what those three possible things are. If we could only pick three besides meditation, which hopefully everybody is trying or attempting to do, eating better and exercising.
Okay. So for all people all the time.
I know, right? Great. But go ahead.
With Wealthfront.
What is that?
Wealthfront is an robo-advisor financial service that will take your money and invest it into index funds and so on for you. So you don't have to do any work, and it basically just helps you make money over time. And most people I know don't have the discipline or the energy to really focus on their finances. So if you're one of those people, do something automated like that. That or Betterment, those are the top two right now in the field.
Oh, cool. I know Betterment. Okay.
If you're going to do, I would say meditation, so using an app like Calm or Headspace, those are probably top two in terms of getting to a more reliable habit.
And I found Headspace too. It's been awesome. It was really, really cool.
These are definitely good tools for a lot of people. And then it's hard to go deeper. I want to say something like modafinil or caffeine. So these are just interesting because they can give you more focus, but you need a prescription for modafinil.
Let's dive into nootropics and stuff like that, because I am a huge fan, right? So I've got a lot. I've tried a lot. I have friends that like create me different stacks of things. And they're like, when I was writing my book a couple years ago, like my friend was sending me pills. I was like, okay, I'm assuming these are, no, it was all legal. Don't get me wrong. And I've tried modafinil. I actually have a prescription for Adderall because I have ADD. But I've been trying so many. If you go down into my cabinet, it doesn't look as bad as Abel's when I went to his house. Like, that was pretty bad. But I have tried every single supplement. Alpha Brain seemed to work better for me, but sometimes Siltep has worked for other people better, right? So I feel like I go through some of this stuff and peppermint oil, rubbing it on your hands and smelling it when I'm kind of losing. So I've got pieces. Tell me what you think I should do now, because I feel like I've sort of dabbled. Modafinil is not my thing because it depletes a little bit too much. Like, I don't feel, I feel like a zombie, like a complete zombie, and it lasts too long for me. It's great if you need 12 hours of book writing and that's it. One of my friends described it as he goes, I sat in a coffee shop and I went to start and then I looked up and it was closing time. You know?
That can't happen.
Yeah. He was like, I got a bunch of stuff done, which was awesome, but it was very like tunnel vision, stuff like that. And I tried it. It worked really well for when I was doing my book. It's not my top choice at the moment. I feel like there's a few things that are a little less drastic because I feel like I can't go out socially on it. You're sort of just like in a funk brain. But give me what I should be doing now, knowing that I've tested a few things. I do Alpha Brain, Adderall maybe once a week because I don't want to be like crazy on that. But that's where I'm at right now. Do you have any? I know usually you're like teaching people about nootropics to begin with. And everybody that's listening probably is not as crazy as I am, but I just wanted your opinion.
You're already an advanced user. So this goes into your individual response to each of these drugs. And I definitely don't want to try to diagnose and do this over the air.
It's like, all right, let's go. Something's wrong. Yeah.
This route in this country is going to work for you. And then we haven't talked about psychedelics. No, I'm in the pain. Okay, so my read for you is that you're doing pretty well. And if you want to now optimize at the 1% level or the 3% level, you might be able to. You might get a little bit more juice, more energy, more focus. But you now have to look at the cost benefit. So you're going to spend, you know, dozens of hours, some money, and you're possibly going to get that. I think that's usually extremely useful for people to do, especially if you think that time will expand over like next year, the year after, the year after, the year after. Depends on how far you are in this space. I haven't found anything that's really that much better than modafinil and Siltep. You can make it on your own. It's just artichoke extract and forskolin, which is a nice, more of a natural, simpler one. I like basically caffeine is a nice still for me. It's a good focus. I know if I'm going to do something like that, like a 5-hour energy is like the cheat one I'll use sometimes. Cause I know if I have to submit myself to that, then I'm going to get some value from this. It's a little visual aid if I put it next to my monitor. So I don't know for you. That's the honest answer.
Well, let's say what for everybody else that has no idea what we're talking about at this very moment. Cause they're like, wait, Jamie, where did you go? What tangent did you just go on? So give us like what people should start with. Tell people what a nootropic is. So that way we're sort of rounding it back out. So what a nootropic is, and then maybe like one or two to start testing at the very beginning if they're a little scared of modafinil.
Yeah. So nootropics are just agents to help you with better cognition, more focus, motivation. And I think the best thing to do is actually to learn. So Smart Drugs Smart is one of the podcasts on this. There's a Reddit sub-channel on nootropics. And the more you study, the better before you start. Definitely before you start. Because you don't want to play with your brain. And especially if you're, I think it's under 27 or so, your brain is still forming. Still parts of it are in development. And especially if you're young, you want to be very careful. Obviously, talk to your doctor before you do any of this.
Yes, please preface it with that. Of course, we don't want to give any. Thank you.
Not to us, because we're talking heads. Listen to your physicians. But some of the stuff, the research, the science, it's not being pursued as much as it should because of these weird moral rules about enhancement. But yeah, study is the most important thing. I would typically, Siltep is the one I have people start on if they just want to do something. It's inexpensive and seems to have a small effect size, but reasonable and fairly.
Based here in Austin, too. You know that my friend runs the company.
Yeah, yeah. I've met some of their folks and I just went to the Dave Asprey's Bulletproof conference a few months back and ran to some of these people. I didn't meet Abelard as the guy that pioneered this particular nootropic, but I haven't met him yet.
That's awesome. Okay. Okay. So somebody's going to start with SILTEP. I think that's sort of the way to go. Where do you see biohacking and lifestyle and life hacking in general going? Because I feel like our technology is getting better in general. And yet, like you said, there's not a lot of options. Like, to me, I'm a big sci-fi, you know, Marvel geek that's like, okay, in the future, I watched this show Dollhouse. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's really good. And they like upload their brain and blah, they do all these things. We know that eventually, like, you know, way, way long time from now, will probably exist at some point. We're not even anywhere close. We have a bracelet that zaps us. That's where we're at right now. Like, really, can't we come up with something better? Where do you, no offense, Manish, no offense at all. He's doing very well. But tell me where you really see this going in like 2 years, not like 10, 20 years out, because I feel like that's different, but like in 2 years that we can start looking forward to.
So I've been studying this space really deeply for about 5 years now. And when I first started, I was more optimistic about how fast we're going to progress because I hadn't studied the whole ecosystem. Now I've looked at a lot. So in 2 years, we'll probably have a couple more breakthrough technologies like Tinder or Pavlok or whatnot. I don't expect to have anything that's that transformative. In one or two domains, you know, maybe in finances are doing much better. I mean, Mint, when it first came out, was a breakthrough technology. Mm. And so everyone hopefully has thought about using Mint to automate your finances. But I'm not sure if there's going to be anything that, if I were to bet money, which I sometimes would do, there isn't one thing that's like obviously going to win. So I'm hoping nootropics in the next 2 years will be taking off. This is seems like it's happening, especially with marijuana becoming legalized and things like that. There's a recent meta-analysis on modafinil that was pretty big that showed some support. So it might be the time for nootropics. That's my hope. I've been looking at transcranial direct stimulation and a lot of other technologies, which are still pretty early to go to market, but there are some that are being sold now. So if you're going to be on the cutting edge, you can try this zap your brain next.
Talk to your doctor for, no, I'm kidding. Do that at your own risk. No. That's the thing.
2 years from now, it'll be similar. I'm hoping one or two more like Tinder type breakthroughs, but we're still going to be this, you know, meat sack walking around, you know, having to play with our brain, which doesn't want to work when we want it, and we get tired when we overeat, you know, lots of things like that, which we're still going to have to work through. So your Star Trek future is going to take some more time.
I have to live forever. I get it. It's fine. I'm working on it right now. I think that's what's so funny is paying attention to some of these technologies, and I know we have to start wrapping up in a second. I want to be a futurist when I grow up. I have a mentor that's a futurist. I'm like all in. I want to, you know, start companies and go into that space because I'm a huge geek into it.
I built Singapore Futurists, and I'm in this transhumanist space. Singular University.
We should be friends. Yeah. Oh, really? I haven't even gone there yet. Okay.
But a beautiful kind of, this is a new vision for a new human, you know, letting us actually achieve what we want to achieve. It will take some time. So, Jamie,
I know. Crap. I'm really impatient. Can you tell everyone what Singularity University is and stuff like that, though, too? Because I don't think most of my audience knows. I usually shut up about this stuff. But when somebody allows me to talk, I probably go way into too much. So tell everybody what Singularity University is.
Do this offline. Singularity University is this 10-week program that teaches you all the exponential technologies for changing the world. It's based out of NASA Ames in California. It's one of the most transformative programs I've seen. A lot of my friends have gone through it. So I'm definitely a fan because you try to output people that think really big in terms of exponential. And we didn't really get into that, but when you're life hacking, you're looking for those 10X type things that you can do. So like getting your investments automated right now for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years without you having to lift a finger, that's pretty good. That's a not bad 10X type of return. There aren't too many like that. So the more you can optimize like that, do it. And then SU just teaches you how to do that for the world scale. And SelfSpark is trying to do that at the individual scale.
I think that's killer. All right. I know we have to start wrapping up, and we now have to be friends, just so you know, because now you're like one of the only people that I can talk about some of this stuff with. Connect me with other really amazing people. So I'm going to ask the last question I always ask. What's one action listeners can take this week to help move them forward towards their goal of 1 million?
Okay. So I think a really underrated technique is prediction.
Ooh.
Because we're all really bad at predicting the future, but the better you can do this, the more success you're going to have. So today is, you know, Sunday. I want you to make a prediction that's 7 days long, not a goal, but I want you to make trying to set a financial prediction or something of that nature, because we're talking about money. How much more money do you think you're actually going to make in the 7 days? What's your evidence for that? Write it all down. You have to write it down. Otherwise, you'll deceive yourself. And this is not a goal. So I also want you to write down what your friends or your colleagues, what they would predict about your success as well this week. Just objectively, don't try to interpret. Just write what you think. Actually, go and ask them if you can. That way you have your interpretation and theirs. And then end of the week, you also have the reality. You have those three. And then see who's getting it right. See what you can do about changing your model of yourself, updating it. So we have a phrase, notice and update. Just notice where you are and update your beliefs, update what you're thinking and doing. Just be gentle with yourself, but you're probably going to be wrong. It's okay. Try to get better every time.
I think that's killer. I've never heard that. So I've done, 300 and something of these interviews, and I've never actually heard that specific way of saying it. So thank you so much for coming on the show today, James. I know we talked about before you were going to have a link with a bunch of things that we mentioned, so that way people could just click on some of these things so we didn't have to, do 1,000 different links in the show notes. So what is that, and where can we find more about you and your company and all that fun stuff?
Yeah, so I'll make a list of the things we talked about and fun tools to think about for financial success. So selfspark.com/EM will be the landing page for just you guys. And for me, if you want to dive into my madness, it's jamesnorris.org. I have a lot of free tools for social impact and behavior change and so on.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I hope you enjoyed that interview. And if you want more like it, go to eventualmillionaire.com. If you click on the millionaire case studies, you will see over 200 millionaire interviews. I don't want you to get overwhelmed, of course, but I do want you to pick the one that might make the biggest difference in your business today. So what's something you're struggling with? And take a look and see if one of those could specifically help you. Don't just take information for information's sake. I want you to be able to take the information, have it applicable to you right now. You use it, you take action, you see results, you come back and go, Jamie, that was amazing. That's what I want. So go check out eventualmillionaire.com and click on the millionaire case studies. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more great information like this on eventualmillionaire.com.